views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
Get ready to experience the truth. Welcome to Truth Talk Radio with your host, Deb Acker. Truth Talk Radio is the hit show that will illuminate the truth in your daily life as you experience life, love, and abundance from a whole new perspective. Unleash your intuitive nature while Deb helps you stop looking outside yourself for value and happiness, break through patterns, and move into your authentic truth at lightning speed. Truth Talk Radio will leave you feeling lighter, help you live with more presence, passion, and clarity, and bring you into a place of infinite possibilities every day in every way. Now, here's your host, Deb Acker.
Hello, everyone. I'm Deb Acker, and you are listening to Truth Talk on Transformation Talk Radio. Stay with me for the next hours. I help you experience the truth, nothing but the truth. Each month on the first and third Wednesdays at 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern, I'll be talking about the most recent energies coming through and interviewing some of the most gifted, inspiring, and unique souls, speakers, and authors, all to help you to move into more light, love, and of course, truth. And before we get started today, I'd like to start out today's show with an intention. And my intention for today's show is that everyone that needs to hear this conversation hears it, and that you leave feeling expansive, inspired, lit up with new awarenesses and clarity, ready to take action. And with that, I'd like to introduce today's guest, Ariel Ford. Ariel is a celebrated love and relationship expert and the author of the international bestseller, The Soulmate Secret. She has just created the world's first transformational coloring book based upon the Soulmate Secret entitled Inspirations Love by Design, Coloring the Divine Path to Manifest Your Soulmate. And this book blends Ariel's step-by-step method for manifesting love with the romantic original artwork of artist Manja Burton. It's a fun, creative, and powerful process. And Ariel has been called the Cupid of consciousness and the fairy godmother of love. And she lives in La Jolla, California with her husband and soulmate, Brian, and their feline friends. And so with that, I'd like to welcome her to the show. Welcome. How are you?
I'm good, Deb. How are you?
Great. Great to have you here. Super excited to have today's conversation. So, of course, many of our listeners know and love you, but for those who are new to your work, I would love if you could share a little bit about yourself and your story.
Sure. Well, I never decided to wake up and become a love expert. It happened really through a strange series of events and coincidences. I woke up one morning at the age of 43 and had this sort of epiphany, which was, oh my God, I forgot to get married. And I was lying in bed trying to figure out how that happened, and I realized I had spent so much of my life focused on building my business and my career, and I had built a very big business by using the law of attraction. So I decided to see if I could use all the prayers and processes and rituals that I had used to build my company with, if they would work on my love life. And surprising to me, they did. And within 6 months, I manifested my soulmate. 3 weeks after we met, we got engaged. A year later, we had 3 weddings, and that was 20 years ago.
Yeah, that's a beautiful story. I love the idea of using law of attraction to, I mean, basically, because it works to create anything we're wanting to create in our lives. So that's awesome. And it's actually when you put your intention towards something and you really put your heart into it, I think that that's such a beautiful story. So, you know, before you met Brian, like, did you think that there was like only one soulmate for you? Were you like, how did you feel about soulmates? Like, how did you even define a soulmate?
You know, I actually never really thought about soulmates before I met him. It wasn't a topic I spent a lot of time thinking about. So I don't remember what I thought about it back then, but over the years, what I've learned is that most of what we believe about soulmates just isn't true. You know, like one of the big beliefs is that there's only one person out there for us. We each get one big love in a lifetime, and that's it. That is an absolute big fat lie. There's Nothing true about that. There's more than enough love for everybody in this world, and there are hundreds of thousands of potential soulmates for everybody. Just like we have enough clean air to breathe and fresh water to drink, there's enough love. There really, really is. And I had so much proof that the law of attraction worked because it worked so well in every area of my life. So applying it to love was really this grand experiment. And it's the law of attraction is always working whether or not you're aware of it. So it's kind of like the law of gravity, right? You don't pay attention to the law of gravity, but you know that it works. So what I discovered is that once I put my attention on getting really clear about the heart traits and qualities I wanted my soulmate to possess and creating a ritual to release my list to the universe and to practice living as if and to get my space and myself ready for it, it was really a simple and fun process. And what I like to share with people is that manifesting a soulmate is totally the easy part. You know, there's nothing difficult about it. The difficulty comes is once you get the soulmate, learning how to live with them. And that became the subject matter of a recent book I did called Turn Your Mate into Your Soulmate. Because what I didn't know, what a lot of people don't know, is just because you're with your soulmate doesn't make it any easier. That the real purpose of marriage and taking sacred vows is to heal ourselves at the deepest level. And that's what a true soulmate relationship does. It heals us. But the process of healing, as most of us know, can be painful and difficult at times. So we have to learn how to navigate that as well.
Well, and what do you recommend? Because I know that this always comes up, right? Like when we have, you know, we're in a relationship and we have those challenges that you're talking about, right? I mean, relationships are there to help us to grow. They're there to help us to expand as beings and help us to learn how to partner together, but also just for us to, you know, grow as souls, to grow as individuals. So what do you recommend, whether you're dating or you're in marriage or a long-term partnership with someone, what do you recommend when you're running up against that conflict? And even like when you're dating someone, identifying, is that a deal breaker or is that just something that, you know, like that's just something that you have to work through so that you can keep growing as a couple? Like, how do we start to distinguish between that?
Oh, those are some really big questions. So I would say if you're single and you're dating, you should know what your deal breakers are before you go out with somebody. All right. So if one of your deal breakers is, you know, you absolutely can't be with a liar or cheater, and that comes up in the dating process, you should know that people who cheat, pretty much there's a 350% chance that they're going to cheat again. Right? So you need to know your deal breakers up front. You can't just like say, oh, well, maybe I can fix him, and then step over your integrity and your own boundaries, thinking you're going to be the one who changes bad behavior. So that's the answer to that question. But now I forgot what the first part of the question was.
Well, it's like, you know, so obviously you've got your deal breakers, but then, you know, when these things come up in relationship, right, how do you start to identify, okay, this is just helping me to grow, this is going to help us to grow as a couple, versus, okay, this is just like, this is something that, not necessarily that's even a deal breaker, but this is just something that's like, oh, like how do you, there's like this point of like, where it's uncomfortable, and it's like, how do you decide, moving towards it versus opening? You know what I mean?
You have to be willing to be transparent, vulnerable, and honest, and ask questions, and not make assumptions. So if something comes up, and you're activated by it, you know, and you're having an issue with it, you might give it all kinds of meaning that isn't true. You know, so you have to learn how to communicate. We're not born with the skills of true communication. We are taught how to talk, but talking is very different from communicating. Communicating is a very active, learned skill in which you say things, and then you listen carefully, and then you do follow-up questions. You know, so I would say what happens for a lot of couples is the really deep stuff doesn't come up in the courtship, nor is it necessarily supposed to, right? The courtship's about finding somebody that you have chemistry, connection, compatibility, some communication with, and a shared vision for the future. You know, so that gets you together. It's not until until you take the sacred vows that the real work of marriage begins. So there isn't just one answer for all of this. You know, if you're dating and there's already deep, deep conflict, you know, you may need to go to couples counseling early to see if this is something that you can really work through or if there's just incompatibility there.
Yeah, no, that's, no, it's interesting, right? Because it's always, it's like when the rubber meets the road as you're dating. And I think, you know, you mentioned around communication and, you know, I think most humans, unfortunately, we don't get taught the skill of relating, right? And so we're each living in our own sort of, you know, world box, however you want to say, and then having to actually relate what's going on and tapping into, okay, what's going on for me, and then how do I share that with another? You know, it's a learned skill set. What tips, what skill, like what recommendations, what tips do you have for starting to learn how to relate to our partners and really, you know, strong communication?
Well, I think the first place to start is to always tell the truth the moment that you know it.
You know?
Keeping secrets and withholds doesn't work at all. It just builds and turns into, you know, a lot more trouble. And then learning how to effectively listen is important. So Harville Hendricks in Imago Therapy has what they call the Imago Dialogue, where you actually learn, you know, your partner talks, and then they stop talking, and then you say back to them what you think you heard so you can have clarity to make sure you actually got the communication. You know, and you'd be surprised by how often you don't do that. So it's there are techniques out there, and we probably don't have enough time to go through all of them. But I would suggest to anybody who's really serious about having love in their life that they commit themselves to becoming a student of love and to learn these skills on how to effectively communicate. And like what a lot of women don't have any clue about is that men's brains are totally wired differently from women's. And so women talk to men as if they're talking to their girlfriend, and then they're upset that they don't get the results that they want. So like one example of this is that if you're going to ask a man a question, ask him one question, and then don't say another word. Give him as much time as he needs to answer. If you ask him two questions at once, you won't get an answer to either. They can only do one thing at a time.
Yeah.
You could talk to your girlfriend and ask her seven questions at once, you know, and you'll get the answer. But men are different that way. Also, your tone of voice is critical. You know, if you're being grouchy, nasty, yelling, screaming, bitching, moaning, whatever, you're not effectively communicating. They're very sensitive to tone of voice, you know, and then you have to know how to set up a question. You know, you want to do it with a lot of love and kindness. So there's so many things that most women don't understand about talking to men, the understanding of which would get them absolutely everything that they want.
Yeah, no, I love that you bring that up, you know, what you're talking about with the way that men process information versus females. It's like men have like, you know, like you said, it's like that one-sided, like you can't give them like a gazillion things, whereas females are very open and they're very like expansive, so they can see, they get the full range. And so I think that that's always so important to be able to recognize like, okay, wait, like they're totally processing this completely different from me. Part of my journey has been, I've been studying like fearless intimacy, right? And how do you really lean in and share your truth? And how do you like not go, you know, I think as women, we get so conditioned into kind of like, like if you're not practice in this, like you're conditioned to kind of go into like when you desire something, a lot of it comes out, it can be like whiny or can be, you know, nagging. And you know, with what you're talking about with communication and being able to really start to shift that, what advice, what recommendations do you have to move out of that space, right? When we're desiring something, but we don't know necessarily how to communicate it, what recommendations do you have for how to communicate that?
Well, I wouldn't ask for anything if you weren't clear about what you wanted. Okay, so let me just give you a simple example. This comes up a lot. one of your husband's chores is to take out the garbage every Sunday night, okay? And you've been married for 16 years. And every Sunday night, you have to nag, whine, and complain, don't forget to take out the garbage, don't forget to take out the garbage. And you're really sick and tired of whining and complaining, take out the garbage. And the reason he doesn't remember to take out the garbage is because every time you open your mouth and you're bitching, take out the garbage, he doesn't hear you. He hears his mother or his father telling him what to do, and men don't want to be told what to do. The solution to this is so ridiculously easy, you're not even going to believe it.
Mm-hmm.
So the next Sunday night, no matter how many times you have to tell him to take out the garbage, when he finally does take out the garbage and he walks in through the back door, walk over to him, throw your arms around him, whisper in his ear, thank you so much. You're my hero. Because you took out that stinky, smelly garbage, I get to feel like a queen. I love you. And then walk away. You do
yeah.
that one time, he'll never forget to take the garbage out again.
Yeah, men love when you're, it's like you make them the hero, just be really grateful. And, you know, they love fixing things, right? So it's like, but when you can take it, go at it from that perspective, it's a beautiful way to do it. I know like one of my teachers talks about also doing it from like a yearning perspective. So when you're really like desiring something, actually not even communicating it verbally, but like communicating it energetically. So literally just thinking it but doing it from a space of like really just yearning from it. And so like, it's like if someone's closed off, for instance, it's like, instead of being like, he's like coming from that space of like, he's so closed off or he's so defensive. It's like, instead coming from that yearning space, from that open space of like, please open your heart, please, you know, let your guard down, and doing it from that space. It like, I've done that in the past, and I've seen it work time and time again, which I think is just a really beautiful thing.
Yeah. Well, what we know for sure is yelling, bitching, moaning, complaining doesn't work.
Yeah. Yes, absolutely. So everyone that's listening right now, especially the females, take that in, because that is very, very true. No, absolutely. And so, you know, what are, like, obviously, you know, as people are looking to manifest love, and even, you know, as you're in partnership, what are some of the common, you know, common blocks, common beliefs that come up when, you know, when we are in relationship and looking for relationship?
Well, they're different, so I'm not going to address both of them. Let's start with single women who say they want love, okay? The most common love blocks and the thing that stops them from any potential of having love is their own beliefs. The beliefs like, I'm too old, I'm too fat, I'm too damaged, all the good ones are taken, I'm unlucky in love, I'm in the wrong city, you know, all of that will guarantee that you're just going to continue to be alone. The reason is the law of attraction states we draw to us the people, places, and experiences that match our state of being. So if your state of being is, I am the luckiest woman in the world. I am so grateful that I'm surrounded by so many people who love me. My parents, my kids, my siblings, my coworkers, my best friend, my dog and cats. And you spend time every day being grateful for all the love that you have, you are going to get romantic love. If you're spending your day saying, oh, I'm so sick of being alone, I'm so isolated, I'm so unlovable, I need to lose 35 pounds, no one's ever going to want me, all you're doing is affirming this horrible, untrue, negative stuff that will put up a huge wall around your heart and make it impossible for love to come in.
Well, and let me ask you, like, and I don't know if you remember, but I'm just kind of curious, you know, obviously at 43, you had this epiphany, you had this, like, basically, like, you realized you didn't have your partner. Throughout that time, though, up until that point, did you ever have these moments where you were like, where that was a focus for you, where you were thinking about that at all, where that was part of, you know, where you were like, oh, I'm still single? Like, what did that look like?
You know, I honestly don't remember. What I can tell you is that it wasn't like I wasn't dating or didn't have relationships. I was, but I was miserable in the relationships. You know, I was never happy. So when I had that epiphany moment, I decided to go back and look at, you know, my history. Like, who had I been dating and why didn't it work? And what I saw was that I had a pattern. And my pattern was I was attracted to men who were just like me, super highly ambitious, wannabe captain of the universe types. And my number one complaint about all of them, the thing that had me leave them, was that they didn't have enough time for me. They didn't give me enough attention. So what I saw was that I needed somebody for whom I could be the center of their universe. My soul was most calling for a man who was really generous with his love and affection and appreciation and attention. And then once I had that awareness, I was able to create a soulmate wish list that contained the heart traits and qualities of the soulmate I wanted to co-create with the universe.
The question that comes to mind to ask you is, if you could tell your younger self something, you know, about obviously about partnering and about dating, what would you want to tell her? What would you want her to know?
Oh, you know, I would say that there's so much to know. There's so much to learn, and commit to knowing it in advance instead of making the same mistakes over and over again. I was just in this constant state of, you know, waiting to trip over the right person, you know, buying into the myth that there was only one and that I had to get lucky and find him. None of which is true. And in my real life, in the life that I was co-creating, I was constantly proving that every day, but somehow I never made the connection between using the law of attraction in my career and using it in my love life.
Well, and how did you get over the pattern that you had of attracting that same type of individual?
Well, it was an awareness thing. Once I saw what I was doing and that it wasn't working and what my complaints were, I was like, oh, well, maybe what I need to focus on is what I need. What is going to contribute to my long-term happiness? Clearly not somebody who's so ambitious and so busy that they have no time to hang out with me, because I was looking for a best friend and a playmate and a companion, someone to share my life with, you know, and the guys that I had been with, all I was an extension of, you know, when they'd have some free time, they would see me. And that wasn't what I needed or wanted.
Right. That does not feel good at all. and I love what you're saying about focusing on what you need, because I think that that's so common that, you know, when we have a relationship pattern. I know I can speak from my own personal experience. You know, in the past, historically, you know, I had this pattern of attracting unavailable men, kind of not too far off from what you're describing. And it was interesting because when I would go out and I would be looking for my partner, what would end up happening is I would be focused on trying not to attract somebody who was unavailable, because for me, like, I had that awareness of that pattern, right? I had that awareness of like, okay, this is what I'm doing. Like, so I could see that clearly. And I was like, you know, waiting for someone walking around with a sign going, I'm available. I'm available, which of course didn't happen. So this idea of making that shift and not choosing not from the knot of like, okay, well, this is what I don't want, but moving forward and focusing on what you do want. I think that that's so, you know, so important and so, so crucial. So I love that you, I love that you say that.
Right. And the truth is, we can't have anything that we want, because when we're in a state of wanting, what we draw to us is more of the feeling of wanting. So what I don't talk about wanting as much is desire. So when you have a desire for something, then you have to embody it and believe that what you've asked for is already yours. And the way I teach people to do this is by practicing what I call a feelingization. We've all heard about visualizations, but visualizations only occur inside your head. So you can make up pretty pictures. Oh, I want a new green convertible BMW. I can see myself driving down the freeway in my green convertible BMW, and I can feel the I can smell the leather and feel the steering wheel. And you can have all these pretty pictures, but if in your bones, in your emotional body, your belief is, I can't afford it, I don't deserve it, I'm never going to have it, you've just canceled out all the pretty pictures. So what I do with a feelingization is it's a closed eyes process where I take you from your head to your heart, and we drop down into our heart, and we spend time re-experiencing feelings of love and appreciation and gratitude as if they're happening right now in this very moment. We get into the now moment of love and gratitude. And then when we're in this state of the now moment of love and gratitude, we drop in the desires. Oh, I'm so grateful that my soulmate and I are together. And we get into this real moment space of what it feels like to be in relationship with your soulmate. Because the truth is, if you believe in quantum science and in the unified field, in the unified field, there is no time. The past, the present, and the future all happen at once. And in the unified field, we are already connected to everything and everybody. Thus, you are already connected to your soulmate right now in this moment on the unseen plane, which means that you can start the relationship right now today. I call it love before first sight.
Yeah, no, I love that. Like, for me personally, I can feel my partner. So I'm single right now, but I can definitely like feel my partner in my field. And I think like just exactly what you're saying, when you can start to access that feeling, and it's just literally like, okay, like whether if you're single, sitting with them on the couch or you're in bed, however that's happening, I think that's so crucial. The other part like that's really interesting that I love that you said, it's just like when we drop in, having people drop into, gratitude and into love and into those higher level energies, higher level vibrations. Those are the spaces that we're actually most open from, and those are the spaces that we actually create from, and that we actually are returned to the powerful manifestors that we truly are. And so when we're in those states and you taking them through like an exercise to feel that as that's happening, that's when we're at our most powerful to bring that in, to call that in, to create that in our world. So I just think that's yeah. so beautiful.
Because you're raising your love vibration, and I just want to let your listeners know that I have dozens of these feelingizations on my website for free. If you go to soulmatesecret.com, there's a tab called Free Stuff, and you can get all the feelingizations there for free.
That's beautiful. That's beautiful. So we are going to take a quick break. And when we come back, we are going to explore more with Arielle. So just stay tuned. We will be right back.
Wow. Hey, everyone. Welcome. Welcome to the Dr. Pat Show. This is Talk Radio to Thrive By. I'm telling you, I got to pinch myself some days, because when each of us gets called to do something that we so not thought was in our wheelhouse to do for a purpose that's so much greater than us, we get to show up and shine.
If you would like to show up and shine on the Dr. Pat Show as a co-host or sponsor, send us an email to inspire@thedrpatshow.com.
Get ready to experience Truth Talk Radio with host Deb Acker. Tune in to Truth Talk Radio each Wednesday at 3 p.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com to illuminate the truth in your daily life as you experience life, love, and abundance from a whole new perspective. This hit show will leave you feeling lighter and bring you into a place of infinite possibilities every day in every way. Visit TruthTalkRadioShow.com for upcoming transformative topics and guests.
Tune in to The Jen Royster Show, intuitive guidance to inspire your life. Each Thursday at 8 a.m. Pacific and 11 a.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. This amazing show is an inspirational hour that will take you on an epic metaphysical journey to discover the spiritual approach to life's greatest challenges. Dr. Jen is an internationally known intuitive counselor, spiritual teacher, and energy healer. Call in for intuitive readings and visit JenRoyster.com for more information.
Bree Gibbs is a fourth-generation high priestess with the knowledge to raise your vibration and conscious creation. Offering a wide variety of services from goddess light and shamanic healing seminars to private reading sessions, Bree works with you so you too can stand in your own power. Isn't it about time you took your life into your own hands? For more information about Bree's services and products, visit SilverGaia.com. That's SilverGaia.com.
Are you ready to stop stress, anxiety, and low self-esteem from running your life? Join award-winning author Dr. Friedemann Schaub for Empowerment Radio and learn breakthrough solutions to switch out of survival mode and approach every day with great ease, joy, and purpose. Tune in the first and third Wednesday at 11 a.m. Pacific to Empowerment Radio with host Dr. Friedemann Schaub on Transformation Talk Radio. Visit thefearandanxietysolution.com to learn more.
Chris Stainis is a spiritual leader and healer and teaches a course on how you can transform your life through a meditation and healing system that will manifest your spirit's dreams. She manifested the Women of Wisdom Conference, the Women of Wisdom book, and this radio show. And she can show you how to change your life too. Are you ready? Visit the website and contact her at voicesofwomentoday.com. That's voicesofwomentoday.com.
We're back on Truth Talk. I am your host, Deb Acker. My guest today is Arielle Ford, and we are exploring all different kinds of tools for manifesting our soulmates and actually when we are actually in partnership. And before we continue, Arielle, I want to ensure that everyone knows how to access your free love manifesting instructional video. So I know you shared your feelingsations, but if you can share that as well, that would be great.
Yeah, if you go to soulmatesecret.com, the Inspiration book cover is on the homepage. Just click on that, and then you can get a free half-hour video on how to manifest.
Beautiful, beautiful. So I know your newest project is this coloring book, and I'm curious to hear how did the idea of, you know, creating a coloring book or coloring your way to a partner come about?
Well, in my book, The Soulmate Secret, I tell the story of a woman from Chicago, actually named Gail Mandel, who manifested her soulmate more than 30 years ago by coloring a mandala. And I would imagine most of your folks know what a mandala is, but for those who don't, it's a piece of artwork of sacred geometry that has a lot of circles and squares and triangles in it, and it's used as a focus for meditation. And what she did was she took this mandala and a box of crayons, and as she colored in each section of the mandala, she would speak out loud a trait or quality she wanted her soulmate to possess. So, for instance, she'd use the yellow crayon and say, "My soulmate loves dogs," and the green crayon and say, "My soulmate is kind to strangers." And she'd use the purple crayon and say, "My soulmate loves my sense of humor." She went on and on until every single section of the mandala was colored in except for one little last piece. And she thought about it for a long time, and finally she picked up a crayon and she said out loud, "My soulmate will have a really cute butt." 3 weeks later, she was out on a date, and this man was, you know, really cute and really nice, and she noticed that he was very kind and polite to the server, and he talked a lot about how much he loved his dog, and she noticed that he seemed to get her quirky sense of humor, and they laughed a lot, and dinner went on for 3 hours, and then when it was all over, he walked her home, he asked her out on a second date, gave her a really nice kiss, and as he turned to walk away, she noticed he had a really, really cute butt. And then they got married, and they actually used to own a beautiful bookstore in Chicago called Transitions.
Oh, yeah, I totally know that
remember
bookstore.
Remember Transitions?
Yep.
It was a great bookstore. Well, it closed down, unfortunately, but they're still happily married and still together. So when I started to get involved with the coloring book trend, because I love to color, I used to work a lot with a publisher in Florida called HCI, Health Communications. They did all the Chicken Soup for the Soul books, and I used to do all the PR for their books. I called them up one day, and I said, "Why don't you do a coloring book with me?" And they said, "Yes." Yeah. So that's how Love by Design came into being.
That's very, very cool. And for the listeners that haven't already gotten this coloring book, it's really beautiful. The artwork, the design in it is just gorgeous. And there's just, you know, it's not just a coloring book. You've got all different kinds of different tools and tips on one side of the of each, you know, mandala. You've got all these different tools and tips to really create it, not just, okay, I'm just coloring. So it's just, it's a really beautiful thing and really beautiful, beautiful idea.
And it really works.
And it really works. Exactly. Exactly. And you, if you want to find a man with a cute butt, just color your way to it. That's awesome. That's awesome. So, you know, we're talking a lot about the, you know, about the law of attraction. And I just want to ask you in terms of, you know, because the law of attraction is all about really what you're putting out there. How does I'm all about energy and really like, it's like all about, we were talking about vibration, right? And what you're really putting out there. How does like, you know, living as if like, how does that work to get to create love faster in your life?
When you're living as if, your behavior matches your belief. So if your belief is at the quantum level, I'm already connected to my soulmate. You know, I don't know his name. I don't know when we're going to meet. But on the unseen level, I can close my eyes and talk to him every day, and we're already connected. Then your behavior would look like, you know, you don't leave the house looking like a mess because you don't know when you're going to trip over him, right? If somebody invites you to a formal event with an RSVP card, you're putting down plus one, because you're going to take your soulmate with you. You could be buying tickets to a concert or a play in the future, knowing that they'll attend with you. You'll stop sleeping in some ratty old T-shirt and buy some beautiful lingerie. You'll get your home ready. You'll be preparing your space for him. So all of those things are about living as if. What you won't be doing is having random casual sex with anybody you know is not your soulmate. Because if you believe in your heart that you're already connected to your soulmate, you don't want to be cheating on them. So it's all about consciously making your actions and your behaviors in alignment with your belief.
Yeah, no, that's beautiful. And I think too, like part of that is so important to notice the vibration that, you know, we're in as we're doing this, right? Because if you're like, if you're acting as if, but you don't actually really believe it to be true, then you're still in the vibration of it not creating it. And so I do think like it's real, like you're talking about, right? It's just really important to be, you know, to be in that vibration and to really notice that. You know, one thing that's come up for me recently is this savoring the waiting. And so like, there was a point not too long ago where I was out with a man and, you know, he wasn't an ideal partner for me, but it kind of hit me in that moment that there was only going to, you know, like that I wasn't going to be going on that many more, you know, first dates, right? There was something that was coming, and it was like, can I actually move into and start to savor like what's like savor, just savor where I am right now, like living in that present moment and just savoring that. Do you have something that comes up for you around, you know, where you're just savoring the present?
Yeah, I think that you described it really well, because you aren't going to be single forever, and there are things you can do as a single woman. Like I remember when I was savoring the waiting, I would get into my PJs at 6 o'clock and eat dinner in bed and get cookie crumbs all over the bread and watch reality TV, you know?
Yeah, no, that's that's absolutely. It's interesting too, because for me, part of that too has looked like, you know, basically taking myself on dates, right? Like just going out, like I'm like, I want to go to this movie. So I'm like, okay, great. I'm going to go. I'm going to get, you know, there's like a place that has some really good like poke bowls. So I was like, I'm going to go. I'm going to get a poke bowl and I'm going to go watch this movie that I really want to see. And just sort of being in that, like in that comfortable space. Cause I think part of, especially like when you're single, and if you're single for a long period of time, you can get in that vibration of just being like uncomfortable. You're waiting, or there's this like anticipation, but it's more anxiety anticipation versus like anticipation, like, oh my gosh. And so it's shifting from that to like treasuring it and like valuing it and having fun and being in that present moment. So I think that that's just so...
And I know a lot of women who have like the rattiest old towels, right? And they keep thinking, well, you know, when I have my wedding shower, then I'll get nice towels. It's like, no, beautify your home now. Get things you love living with now. You know, otherwise you're just waiting in this like, well, someday I deserve it. You know, what is it you deserve to have right now? And that's another way to savor the waiting.
Yeah, no, that's beautiful. That's beautiful. You know, you talked about these like feelingizations. You talked about that. And I love playing with, you know, with energy and playing with like creating that vibration. What are some other ways that, you know, so like one example of that for me is I started, you know, as I was dating, I created this thing called the truth experiment in dating. And for me, because part of my journey has been to like, can I be totally fully in my truth? Can I totally be open? Like a lot of what I used to do was like shrink to fit, right? Or I try to you just try to be what that person would like versus like being truly, fully, you know, yourself. And so I started to really play with that. And I'm curious, like what other ways, do you recommend playing with to really, you know, sort of call in that partner and really call in the type of partner that you're truly wanting versus, you know, just calling in a partner?
Well, it really begins with having a great soulmate wish list where you have a lot of clarity about the traits and qualities you most desire in a partner. You know, what are the things that are going to contribute to their, you know, your long-term happiness, which for the most part have nothing to do with height, weight, hair color, income level, and all of that. So you need to really do a deep dive into what your soul is most calling for. That's where I would begin. And then once you have that list, have a trusted friend review it with you to make sure you didn't leave off anything important. You know, like for instance, I'm a cat lover. I could not imagine my life without at least one cat in it. Had I manifested a soulmate that was allergic to cats, we would have had a big problem. So, you know, maybe my friend noticed, hey, you forgot to put, you know, must be a cat lover on your list, something like that. And then you want to release the list to the universe because there's a paradox with the law of intention. You want to be really clear about what it is you're creating, and you want to co-create it, and at the same time, you need to be detached and surrendered from the outcome. You can't be reading your list every day, you know, tapping on it, saying, where is he, where is he, so late, he's so late, what if this doesn't happen? You have to know and trust that he's already there, and you're just welcoming him in at the same time you're enjoying the life that you're already living.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I think attachment is such a big piece, right? Because, you know, and I found myself here, you know, there before as well, but it's just kind of one of those things where, you know, it can be so easy to get be like, when is he coming? Like, when is this going to happen? And to get in that energy. And even if you feel that energy in your body, right? Like if you feel that, it feels so heavy. Like it feels so, I mean, it's got the underlying effect of just control. And it's interesting too, because if you think about meeting your partner with that sort of meeting him with that energy, like in your field where you're like trying to control, whether that person is even any at all aware of energy or not, they're totally like they can feel it subconsciously.
Well, yeah, it's repellent.
Right, exactly. You know,
they'll be running from you as opposed to running towards you because there's a neediness and a desperation, which is why it's so useful to talk to your soulmate every day, to have a daily practice of connecting on a heart-to-heart level. I think one of the feelingizations on my site is about having a golden cord connected to their heart so you can drop into this deep connection so you're not living in the state of something's missing. You're living in the state of fulfillment and love, and you're living as if. So if you really trusted and believed that he was on the way, you'd be joyful, right? You'd be excited. I don't know what day I'm going to meet him, but I'm ready whatever day it is, whatever day is good for him. and it's not, this is slippery stuff. So it's not like you're going to hear me today and master it tomorrow. You know, it's a conscious awareness which is why it's so necessary for it to become a practice. Just like you wouldn't roll out of bed tomorrow and expect to complete running a marathon because you hadn't trained for it. Thus, you can't expect to become a master manifester, you know, out of one-hour radio interview.
Yeah, no.
Practice.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Absolutely. Well, you know, and I think it's important too to even to as part of what we're talking about with this whole attachment piece, right? And is noticing like even what do you do like when you go on a date and then the date's over, and if you're excited about him, what sort of energy are you putting around that? You know, because it's like, you know, it's the whole, is he going to call? Like, when's he going to call? You know, and again, that goes back to like that attachment energy. And especially if you go into like a needy place or, you know, like just a worried place, whether you've said anything to this person or not, again, subconsciously on the subconscious level, because we're all connected, that person can feel that. So it's so important to pay attention.
It's important. If you had a great time on the date, you need to let him know three different times how much you enjoyed it, you know, because men are super insecure, so they may not hear you the first two times, you know, so they need to know your level of interest. You know, you could just say, hey, you're so much fun. I really had a good time with you. And a little while later, you could say, thank you so much for taking me to the Brasserie restaurant. I really enjoyed it. You're a lot of fun to be with, you know, just like, be effusive that way, but don't ask him out on a date. That's his job to ask you out on a date. But it is your job to be acknowledge him and appreciative, because men choose a woman based on how they feel around her. You know, so if he feels seen and heard and accepted and admired and he's winning, you know, chances are you'll get a second date. And if you don't have it mean anything. Don't have it mean that you did something wrong or you're not pretty enough or you need to lose weight. None of that is true, you know, and you're never going to know why. So don't waste a moment of your precious life beating yourself up over it.
Yeah, no, I think it's so important. It's like what people say, what people do, it's all about them. And if you know that and just recognize, like, if that person's not asking you out, it has nothing to do with you, and it just has to do with them, what they're feeling, what's, you know, what's going on with them. I think that that's so important. Well, and I love what you're talking about.
I want to say one other thing here, though.
It's
really important to listen to what they have to say. So if what you're up to, honestly, is finding a soulmate and you want to get married, and he tells you, early on, I'm really not looking for a relationship right now, don't step over that. Men tend to tell the truth and out themselves. Now, what you could ask them, and you could say, oh, is this like a temporary thing, like you're not looking for a relationship in the next 2 weeks, or you're really looking just to hang out over the next 2 years? Not like you're in this needy place, but as a point of clarification. You know, you could just say, oh, did you just say you're not looking for a relationship? I just wanted to clarify, like, is it like just for 2 weeks or like the next 2 years you really see yourself not ready for love? And if he says, yeah, no, really, I just got out of a marriage and I really need a break and I'm going to take 2 years off, you could say, gosh, that's great. And I have a couple of girlfriends I might be able to fix you up with that are in the same boat, but I'm actually up to finding my soulmate and getting married. So I'm glad we figured this out quickly. And that is totally okay to say. You know, you should never be embarrassed or ashamed that that is what you're up to. What you should be is grateful that this guy was honest enough to clue you in before you fell for him.
Yeah, exactly. Like, it's okay to ask questions and it's okay to take a stand for what you want, because if you want to tell the universe, like, hey, I want you to bring me men that are available, the men that are wanting relationships, you for sure don't want to continue on a in a relationship dynamic with somebody who doesn't want that. So I know, I think that that's so important. One of the questions that comes up to ask you that I'm curious about, because we're talking about, you know, you had mentioned not like, you know, never, like, or not never, but not asking a guy out. Have you played at all with like feminine and masculine energies and really, you know, about like, because I know it's so common, especially for women that are in the corporate world, to be, even when they come out of their work setting, they're still in that, you know, they're still in that masculine energy. They're still in sort of like making things happen.
There's only one question to ask yourself, because all women are in their masculine energy when they're working.
Yeah.
That's what's so. So if you say you want a relationship and you want to be with a masculine male, then it is absolutely your responsibility to learn how to shift into your feminine energy when you're going on a date. And it takes a little time. I had a whole practice around it. I would go home from work. I would practice my belly dancing. I would take a bubble bath. I'd, you know, put on fresh makeup. And I would take the time to shift into my feminine because I didn't want to be with a beta man. Now, if you want to be with a beta man and you want to be the guy in the relationship, that's fine. There are tons of great beta guys out there, and there's nothing wrong with it. But just know that you can't have two masculine energies in a relationship and expect to ever have sex because there's no polarity.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's like, I think it's just so important. It's like for the females out there that are like, well, but I actually do want a man to kind of take charge, a man to lead. You know, it is learned, and I've been learning it too, right? There's a whole process to really unwind the ways that we get to, you know, the ways that work for us in corporate jobs, in our careers. There's a process that you can do to start to unwind those pieces and to really to move into your feminine energy. You know, for me, it's interesting because even a small example of this the other day was I went for a walk in the woods. And when I came home, I had mud on my shoes. And I'd asked one of the people in my garage, I'm like, hey, can I use the hose? I want to like hose off my shoes. And he's like, come here. And he like takes the, you know, the towel and he takes some water and he starts wiping off my shoes. And I was like, oh my God, like this is somebody who's actually like helping me, you know, like without me asking. And so part of, you know, feminine energies is all about, it's like that, you know, like being willing to ask for help, right? Being willing to accept help, being willing to, you know, to not need to have control of everything and let, and giving your partner that opportunity to lead. What recommendations do you have that can help with that?
Well, everything you said is absolutely true. You know, you need to really ask yourself, why do I want a man in my life? You know, we don't need men anymore. We used to, but we don't need them. Why should you want one? Well, because they're lots of fun. There's lots of things that you can do with them that you can't do by yourself. And it makes life so much better. But knowing that, you know, you have to allow them to be men, which means they do want to be chivalrous. You know, and if you want to teach them how to open the car door for you, when you get somewhere, sit in the car. Sit in the car until he opens the door. He will eventually figure it out. If he asks you, you know, where do you want to go for dinner, you could say, you know, I'm interested in Italian, Thai, or hamburgers. Why don't you choose and surprise me? You know, let him be the driving force and your feminine energy. One of the mistakes I see a lot of women make, particularly women who are coaches, is that they feel like they constantly have to improve and coach the guy. My belief is you never, ever tell a man what to do who's over the age of 5 unless they specifically ask you. You know, you're not there to be his coach or his mommy, right? You want to be his girlfriend and his wife. You know, so if he's taking advice from you, you are not in a romantic situation anymore. He's now in a lower position because he's needing you. Now, this isn't to say you can't ever coach him, but like I said, he has to ask for it, and you need to do it with boundaries in a particular setting and not have it become where you're big mama, you know, guiding his life, trying to fix his life.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Absolutely. Well, and I think an important piece of that, like I love what you're saying, right? It's like just making sure that you don't say like, I want to go to XYZ restaurant. You give them just sort of what you're desiring and you let them figure out how to fill that desire. I think even just another way, you know, just you were talking about sitting in the car, right? Another way that this shows up so many times is we as women, and just in general, as people, we're uncomfortable filling this, or we're uncomfortable with space, right? But if you can actually stop and be silent and not try to always constantly fill that space and allow them, that's a way that you can actually allow your man, allow your your partner to lead you, right? It's like, let them take the lead, let them figure out whatever it is, whether it's just even in a conversation, you know, when we're in dialogue with someone, right? Like if we're in dialogue with them and we're like, you know, we keep leading the conversation, it's like, what do you do? Well, you know, when we keep asking question and question and question, we're not even giving them the opportunity to let them lead, to let them take initiative, to let them indicate their desire and what they're really wanting. Ariel, do you have any final thoughts before we close the show today?
You know, I would just say that the one thing I know for sure is that there's enough love out there for everybody. So if your desire is to have love in your life, all you need to do is put a little time and energy and intention and attention onto your love life. There's a million great conscious guys out there, you know, and just as much as you're looking for your soulmate's also looking for you. So if you say this is really important to you, then it's time to make an investment of your time and energy.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much for being part of today's show. I know I got so much out of it. I know our listeners got so much out of it. I always love hearing from my audience. So if you have a comment on the show or would like to introduce yourself, you can definitely send me a note on the contact page of my website at deborahacker.com. And you can also sign up for my free Living in Your Truth guide there as well. And just make sure to tune in 2 weeks as I will be sharing the newest energies, learnings, and teachings. So in the meantime, I hope you have a great week and I'll look forward to talking with you next time.
Thank you for listening to Truth Talk Radio with your host, Deb Acker. Tune in to Truth Talk Radio every Wednesday at 3 Pacific Time on TransformationTalkRadio.com and experience the truth of who you are and who you came here to be. Each week, Deb interviews an inspiring guest and illuminates the truth to a wide range of topics, including love, life, purpose, career, consciousness, and abundance. Welcome to the world of infinite possibilities. For more information about Deb, including how to contact or work with her, visit TruthTalkRadioShow.com. Look forward to seeing you next week for more Truth Talk Radio.